Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man. Well, on the
earth. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and toquettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Wednesday, September 14, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. We've got a great set of segments for you over the next 2 hours, because if you were listening to yesterday's show, we were talking about a little bit about stoners against legalization, and I lamented the missing stoner against legalization from 2010, and that would be a woman by the name of Dragonfly De La Luz, a freelance cannabis strain reviewer who popped up in the Prop 19 debate pretty prominently. Well, no sooner had I said that and gotten off the air yesterday that I was referred to a post by said Dragonfly De La Luz, who is now heading up a new blog out there that is is called Progressive. Why Progressives Are Voting Against Prop 64. Why Progressives Are Not Supporting Marijuana Legalization in California is what it should be called, or why she thinks they shouldn't. And my goodness, folks, this is a treasure trove. A treasure trove of stoners against legalization, reefer madness, scaremongering, propaganda, obfuscation. I'm going to be tearing this stuff apart for the next couple of weeks. But on today's show, we're going to talk specifically in the Radical Rant about how she has shamefully misquoted a friend of mine, Vivian McPeak, the founder of the Seattle Hemp Fest. We'll tell you what she did, how she did it, and how she reacted to it. It's pretty shameful. We'll get to that in the Radical Rant. Coming up in the interview segment at half past, we are continuing our look at the 2016 marijuana election votes. And joining us today, Bobby Tuna. Robert Platshorn will be joining us. He's coming to us from West Palm Beach, Florida. He's a good friend, a longtime supporter of marijuana legalization efforts. You may remember him from the book Black Tuna Diaries and the movie Square Grouper. He is one of America's longest-serving nonviolent marijuana prisoners. He did 29 years in prison. We'll talk to him about what's going on with Florida's Question 2, their medical marijuana amendment, and how he, the Silver Tour, and others banded together to protest the Publix grocery chain in Florida. We'll tell you why when we get to that segment. That's at half past. Also on the show today in drug war data mining, Lee Fong out there at The Intercept has another great expose. He pointed out how the filings for Insys Therapeutics showed that the drug manufacturer was afraid marijuana legalization would hurt its bottom line. He's expanded that look in a new article where he takes a look at how Big Booze is contributing to the fight against legalizing marijuana. So we'll come to that in drug war data mining. Also on the show, we will do a behind the headlines segment, taking a look at the world of finance, where I found a financial investment advisor that is telling his high net worth investors to jump into marijuana and to abandon alcohol. So we'll tell you why and what's that all about in Behind the Headlines. That comes right after the Cannabis Radio News. And in the news today, a couple stories out of Canada, one on prescription heroin and another one on marijuana banking. We've got good news out of Michigan on fixing some of the problems with their medical marijuana program. We've got a longtime normal supporter and medical marijuana doctor pushing for medical marijuana use in a California hospital. We've got another Florida city that is decriminalized with a special tie to the marijuana industry. We've got farmers in Maine going for certified organic cannabis. That's coming up in Hour 1. In Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio, our phone lines will be open at 650-LEGAL-MJ, and we'll do more Stoners Against Legalization debunking. See you in 2 minutes.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
earn your PhD in THC monetization with CannabisRadio.com. Don't be late.
Play as Ted Growing, expelled botany sophomore and the biggest grower in town, only on Weed Firm Replanted. Available on the App Store and Google Play.
It's a lot of work being the biggest grower in town. Maintaining a room full of plants while dealing with a slew of eccentric customers, from a hardcore partier to the curious neighbor next door.
Is anybody home?
Help me expand my bud business by unlocking new strains, customizing my grow room, and completing challenges that you can't get enough of. Grow your empire so big you can see it from space. Low on funds? Don't worry. Weed Firm Replanted is free to download.
Download Weed Firm Replanted for free on the App Store and Google Play today. Get growing, Mr. Growing.
Tommy Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
All you have to do is decriminalize. We don't need a government regulation to tell us this is good pot, that's bad pot. We don't need any of that.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Wednesday, September 14th, 2016. Ottawa, Canada. The Washington Post reports that the Canadian government has approved a plan to allow doctors to prescribe heroin to patients with serious addiction that is unresponsive to other treatments. Any physician in Canada can now apply to Health Canada's Special Access Program for diacetylmorphine, the name for pharmaceutical-grade heroin. Vancouver, British Columbia is home to Crosstown Clinic, North America's only supervised injection site providing clean needles and heroin maintenance for addicted people. Officials at Crosstown can now expand their program under the new law. Crosstown is currently serving diacetylmorphine to 52 patients under a special court order. Experts expect that number to at least double if the supply of diacetylmorphine needed is available. The Conservative Party's spokesperson for health policy, Colin Carey, states that the party opposes the measure, adding, quote, "Our policy is to take heroin out of the hands of addicts and not put it into their arms," end quote. Toronto, Canada. Two of Canada's largest banks have announced they will no longer offer services to businesses in the cannabis industry. Despite the Canadian government moving toward nationwide legalization, Scotiabank and Royal Bank of Canada are refusing new accounts and canceling existing ones held by companies that produce or distribute marijuana. In Scotiabank's case, they even canceled the account for a company that only works in marijuana paraphernalia. A spokesperson for the bank said canceling marijuana accounts was, quote, "a reassessment of our risk management practices," end quote. Lansing, Michigan. The trio of bills approved by the Michigan Senate to legalize medical marijuana dispensaries and edible marijuana products, among other things, are now awaiting the governor's expected signature. The Michigan House passed a reconciliation of their bills with the Senate versions on Wednesday. Governor Rick Snyder's spokesperson said that, quote, "overall, he is supportive of the policies," end quote. Marin, California. A physician who is a long-term advocate of medical cannabis use is asking Marin General Hospital to become the first in the nation to allow it in the hospital. Dr. Larry Bedard filed the motion with the Marin Healthcare District, the San Jose Mercury News reports. If Dr. Bedard's motion passes, the hospital staff would begin the investigation on how to implement medical cannabis use in the facility. Dr. Bedard is a supporter of California's Prop 64 and authored one of the voting guide rebuttals to arguments against legalization. He served on the California Medical Association Task Force on Marijuana that endorsed Prop 64 as well. Skeptics of the plan point out that Marin General must interface with the federal government over Medicare and that the feds may retaliate against a hospital allowing a Schedule I drug. Dr. Bedard counters that the current spending bill prevents federal interference in state medical marijuana matters, and that will preempt any retaliation. Port Richey, Florida. The headquarters of Magical Butter, a company that sells a machine that extracts oils from cannabis and other plants, is in the latest Florida city to decriminalize personal possession of marijuana. Port Richey City Council passed an ordinance Tuesday night making the possession of less than 21 grams of marijuana a city infraction, punishable only by a $155 fine. Garen Angel, CEO of Magical Butter, personally lobbied the council. Under Florida state law, such possession is a misdemeanor subject to a year in jail and a $1,000 fine, and amounts over 20 grams are felony crimes with 5 years in prison, a $5,000 fine, and like all felonies in Florida, a lifetime loss of voting rights. Port Richey joins Orlando, Tampa, West Palm Beach, Key West, Miami Beach, and five other cities and counties in decriminalizing small amounts of pot. Portland, Maine. Farmers in Maine have proposed a standard for certifying organic cannabis that could be the first such certification on the East Coast. The Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association calls it the Certified Clean Cannabis Program. The year-long test phase currently includes five medical cannabis growers. The program will evaluate cannabis crops based on national organic standards set for food products. The Clean Certified Cannabis Designation, or C3, cannot legally refer to cannabis as, quote, organic, end quote, as that term is regulated federally by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, a federal agency which cannot recognize marijuana as anything other than an illegal drug. Out west, California and Oregon have already a few established groups certifying organic cannabis. This is your Cannabis Radio News for Wednesday, September 14th, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
Forwarding the cause of legalization and research of the growing cannabis industry, one podcast at a time. The Cannabis Radio Network.
Oh, lady marijuana, llama, tell you something now. Bought a game for your phone, gonna make you say, wow! The game's about the game of growing cannabis for cash. Grow the seeds, sell the bud, put the savings in the stash. Little by little, your empire grows large. Put different celebrities inside your entourage. You can choose to play with Snoop or me or Cheech and Chong. Cypress Hill, Willie Nelson, Wiz Khalifa with a bong. The name of the game is Hemping, that's the point. Download and play while you light yourself a joint. The business of cannabis should be no crime. Hemp Inc. is even hot-proofed by the man who run High Times. Oh, yeah? Get it on Android and iOS today. Marijuana Llama out. Got to tend to me own crops, you know? Money don't make itself. Hemp Inc.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson, or Norman. And I smoke pot, and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
Marijuana legalization is a worldwide phenomenon. Get yourself positioned for the global cannabis marketplace by attending the International Cannabis Business Conference in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. You'll learn from established cannabis professionals, elected officials, and internationally recognized marijuana law reform activists. You'll also enjoy the ICBC's famous VIP party featuring ICBC special guest speaker and Canadian native Tommy Chong. The ICBC is happening in Vancouver on Thursday and Friday, October 13th and 14th at the Hyatt Regency. Log on to internationalcbc.com today to reserve your tickets. That's internationalcbc.com, and bookmark our page for the next ICBCs taking place in Berlin, Germany and San Francisco, California. Don't miss the International Cannabis Business Conference, internationalcbc.com.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Today in the Focus, we take a look at the world of finance and a website called ValueWalk.com,
reporting on this is a fellow by the name of Mark Mellon, and he's pointing to a report that came out just a couple days ago from Cowan and Company. I don't know who Cowan and Company are, but a report that takes a look at sin industries, the sin industries of alcohol, tobacco, and marijuana. And the title of this article is Ultimate Sin Trade, Buy Big Cannabis with 9x growth in the next 10 years, sell big alcohol. Buy big cannabis, sell big alcohol. So this is interesting as the financial world and the investment world starts to recognize what's going on in the burgeoning green rush that's happening all across this country. The report says, as the general public begins to understand nuance between the risks of marijuana usage, making distinctions between hard drug addiction, the attitudes and policies are shifting to a consensus opinion that points to growth. And the cannabis field, as they point out, and was raised in another report, is poised to be a $50 billion industry by 2026. So the investors are looking, and they're looking hard at what's going on here in cannabis. The Cowan report again said $50 billion by 2026. That's assuming, under the Cowan report, assuming that the feds legalize. And they believe that the non-therapeutic cannabis industry can grow at 24% over the next 10 years. The report is called The Cannabis Compendium, Cross-Sector Views on a Budding Industry, end quote. Ha ha, pardon the pun. Now, they note that the societal perception about cannabis health risks has fallen notably, and that, quote, cannabis is generally considered less risky than alcohol, end quote. So they're pointing out that there's this great rise, this great explosion of growth with what's happening in the cannabis industry. And they point out something that we've been examining in our community for years as we've been trying to predict what would happen once marijuana was legalized. They say, quote, initially, the industry will benefit smaller independent players, but ultimately big corporations will dominate. They say the initial market growth will be driven by entrepreneurs. And we've pointed out how since federal Schedule I still exists for cannabis, it has to be pretty much contained within the state. So you get state by state, different companies getting set up and building their empires rather than one big mega conglomerate swooping in and buying it all up. But they do forecast that eventually, when that federal Schedule I designation falls by the wayside and the big players can get involved, that they will start to be investing in and buying out a lot of these companies. Now, the other point that they make in this report is that as the cannabis use increases, consumption of alcohol, specifically beer, drops precipitously. This presents a clear and present danger for the likes of industry Goliath Anheuser-Busch InBev. And we'll talk in the next segment about just how the alcohol industry has been fighting against marijuana legalization. But this is becoming clearer and clearer to the investors that if they've got their money parked in alcohol conglomerates like InBev, that it may be time to start looking at the cannabis industry as a place to put their money for, like they said, 9x growth over the next 10 years. As more of these states legalize, in fact, as we pass legalization in California, I think that's when we really start to see the flood of money. With Prop 64, they have a moratorium on what are called the mega grows, unlimited size grows. So up until 2021, I believe it is, they will have smaller scale grows up to an acre, I believe it is, or 22,000 square feet indoors. Once 2021 comes around, though, and the big companies can get involved and create massive marijuana farms, they are going to. It's going to happen. And we shouldn't expect that marijuana is going to be unlike any other consumer commodity. When it can be produced at scale for far lower production costs, it's going to happen. But just like the alcohol world, I think we'll still have plenty of our own
craft cannabis available from boutique growers and people, the demand from people who want the good stuff.
What is your major malfunction, numbnuts?
Oh, the list is so long. Where do I start? Happy 420 to all my friends and family in the great state of Idaho, surrounded on all sides by liberalizing marijuana laws. But Idaho's sticking to its guns. By God, they're not going to legalize marijuana for any purpose whatsoever. Ever. Got to take a break. We're back with big alcohol versus legalizing marijuana.
Next to THC and CBD, you can now add CBR to your cannabis vernacular. CBR as in cannabisradio.com.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Vuber way.
Cannabis Confidential with Dr. Dina. Candid.
I want to give you the inside story.
Captivating.
I want to introduce you to my kind and amazingly talented friends.
Compelling.
We get to meet some of the most amazing cannabis activists and warriors around.
Listen in as medical marijuana pioneer Dr. Dina shares never-before-heard stories, chats with cannabis insiders and celebrity friends, and provides invaluable perspective and insight into one of the fastest-growing industries in the world.
I want to share with you what was once confidential information. Let's expose the truth, discuss the issues, and learn the facts.
Cannabis Confidential, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals, or at least they pay me to say that. A public service message from CannabisRadio.com and the Russ Belville Show.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Data Mining, we take a look at a piece at TheIntercept.com, written by Lee Fong, and the title is Alcohol Industry Bankrolls Fight Against Legal Pot in Battle of the Buzz. And this is something we've all talked about in the past, how the big alcohol companies don't want to see marijuana legalized. I mean, we've theorized about this, that they don't want to see marijuana legalized because if marijuana were legal, fewer people would drink beer, and that would hurt their profits. Well, we have proof of this now. We've had it before. We've got more of it now. And Lee at The Intercept has done a great job of corralling all this data for us, pointing out the latest donation coming from the state of Massachusetts, where the Beer Distributors PAC gave $25,000 to the Campaign for a Safe and Healthy Massachusetts. That's the people fighting against marijuana legalization in Massachusetts. That puts them in third place. That's the third greatest donation they got was from Big Alcohol, the Beer Distributors PAC. 16 different beer distributing companies in Massachusetts. The president didn't respond for a comment, but what's he going to say? The same thing is going on in Arizona. The Arizona Wine and Spirits Wholesale Association donated $10,000
to the legalization opposition group. Back in 2010, when we had Prop 19, the alcoholic beverage distribution groups were providing money to cops to try to defeat legalization through a propaganda tour. Now, what we find, generally speaking, is that the alcohol companies are against it, but there are some that are actually in support of marijuana legalization. They tend to come, though, from the world of the craft brewers. And I find that very interesting, that it's the mega brewers. It's the Anheuser-Busch InBevs of the world. It's these beer distributors that are, you know, trucking, you know, cases of Bud Light and Pabst Blue Ribbon across the country that are worried that marijuana is going to hurt their market share. But the guys that are taking their time to craft really good quality beer at a local level with some taste and some kick to it aren't really worried about this at all. Not even concerned. Interesting, I think. You can also take a look at how these companies are forecasting the future of marijuana legalization against their bottom line through their Security and Exchange Commission filings. These are the reports they have to give to the SEC for investors in their companies. The parent company of Sam Adams, you know, the Sam Adams Brew, Boston Beer Company, one of the top 10 brewing companies, they told investors that laws that allow the, quote, sale and distribution of marijuana could adversely impact the demand for beer, end quote. Brown-Forman, they make Jack Daniels, warned that, quote, consumer preferences and purchases may shift due to a host of factors, many of which are difficult to predict, including the potential legalization of marijuana use on a more widespread basis within the United States, and changes in travel, leisure, dining, gifting, entertaining, and beverage consumption trends, end quote. More widespread marijuana legalization might lead to fewer people drinking Jack Daniels. Now, this is not something that's entirely clear, this hypothesis that more marijuana leads to less alcohol. Not entirely clear. People that have studied this, public policy profs and analysts, have long time theorized that if we've got a choice, we will substitute marijuana for alcohol. But since marijuana was never legal, these were all just theories. Colorado legalized marijuana, and when you take a look at the tax revenue that Colorado's getting from alcohol, it hasn't changed hardly after marijuana got legalized. The state's still bringing in about the same amount of alcohol taxes, which suggests that there's still the same amount of drinking going on. I mean, I suppose it's possible there's fewer drinkers and they're all drinking more, but probably not. I would hypothesize that the pot smokers in California have always been Colorado have always been the pot smokers in Colorado, and the drinkers in Colorado have always been the drinkers in Colorado, and legalization didn't change that dynamic much. It could be different state to state. You go to some dry state like a Missouri or something and legalize cannabis, you might see a shift. But I think in Colorado, the access was pretty much there for the vast majority of the heavy consumers that make up the majority of the purchases, both in alcohol and cannabis. So maybe that's why we don't have much difference. The CEO of that company that makes Jack Daniels, his name's Paul Varga. In August of 2014, he said that legalization was possibly a big threat. But 4 months later, in October, he said, quote, I wouldn't say I'm losing sleep over the legalization of marijuana, but I'm paying attention to it, end quote. Again, this is Lee Fang's piece up there on TheIntercept.com. And great information and links in there if you want to check out more about this particular issue. But yeah, it's clear. And this even goes back to Partnership for a Drug-Free America and all the way back to the 1980s when some of the first anti-drug groups that were founded by donations from the alcohol industry. It's not a war on drugs, folks. It's a war between drugs. You tell me this country has a drug-free attitude, I'll show you any commercial on any nightly news for any number of pills or alcohol.
No, it's not a war on drugs. It's a war between drugs. And the ones with the market share right now don't want to give any of that up to a plant you can grow in your backyard. Fortunately, we have votes and initiatives, and we can change that. Make sure you're registered. Make sure you vote. We're back with Bobby Tuna from Florida right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Keep your cannabis cravings under control. Feed your mind with CannabisRadio.com.
Cash?
Sorry.
I don't carry around cash, and I don't want to use the ATM and pay surcharges.
You don't need to carry cash. Haven't you heard about PayQuick?
Okay, tell me about PayQuick.
It's the safe and easy way to pay. It works just like your debit card to securely pay for your purchase, and it gives you rewards points every time you use it.
Nice.
PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
You can find Radical Russ online everywhere. Gmail, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, SoundCloud, Snapchat, LinkedIn, and Boise State University's 2400 baud modem bulletin board system from 1985.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
F-I-We-Lie!
You're listening to Cannabis Radio News' exclusive coverage of Vote 2016, The Path to Cannabis Freedom, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. It's 32 after the hour, and we are continuing our preview of the various initiatives that are taking place all across the country. Today, we make our way down to the great sunshine state of Florida and visit with an old friend of the show. We got Robert Platshorn on the line, Bobby Tuna himself. Robert, welcome back to the show.
Man, I haven't seen you in way too long. How you doing, Ross?
I'm doing fantastic, and I'm hoping you are doing well as well. We are really excited about Florida's medical marijuana amendment. The latest polls that we've seen have shown overwhelming support among every demographic. Give us your take on what's happening down there as far as, you know, 8 weeks before the election and how people are reacting.
Well, we're all confident that it's going to pass. Of course, we were confident in 2014 when we were polling at about 67-68% at this point. And then, of course, Adelson's $5 million came in. And we were blitzed on television with Reefer Madness, and we lost. We're not likely to lose this time. It's a presidential election. We'll have a much better turnout. In midterm elections, the only people who turn out are seniors and Latinos because they value their vote. I'm still a little worried. So far, very little positive advertising has popped up anywhere. And Adelson again says he's putting in $5 million. We have the woman whose family founded Publix. She put in close to $1,800,000. And there's other money coming in on the negative side. So it's still a little worrying. And when I met with Ben Pallara, who runs Morgan's campaign,
Yeah.
And Morgan put up a lot of money to get it on the ballot in 2014 and then spent no money trying to counter the no on two. It could have been passed last time had our side been visible, and we weren't. So I was really concerned about this time, and I still am. Because he put up the money, got it on the ballot again, and then when I met with Ben Pilar about 6 or 7 weeks ago, I said to him, look, I can get a lot of media time really inexpensively because we're a 501c3, a nonprofit, and we buy at educational rates. Morgan's going to have to pay political rates, which are like 4 to 10 times as high for broadcast media, radio and TV. I said, why don't you put part of your budget into the Silver Tour, and I can cover this whole state saturated on radio for about $150,000. That's really not a lot to cover this state, all 14 radio markets. And I got a pretty qualified no, like I did last time when I went to them and asked them to support a campaign that might have gotten us passed last time. But he said, look, Morgan plans to spend a lot of money on television and radio. And he assured me. And then he said something that really kind of made me wonder again. He said, but it may not be necessary.
Hmm.
And that tells me they're going to hold back what they can. So that's worrisome. I hope I'm wrong.
So basically coasting on the fact that the polls are around 70% right now, they think they don't really need to make the effort.
Yeah, the polls are better than that. The polls are around 77%.
Wow.
And that's like maybe 8 or 10 better than last time.
Mm-hmm.
We know we're going to have a much, much bigger voter turnout. You know, last time his attitude was, well, if the word marijuana is in there, the kids are all going to turn up and vote for it.
Huh.
Of course, the kids don't vote in midterm elections. And somebody who's supposed to be politically savvy is supposed to know that.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I learned back in 2010 when we were both begging people to support Prop 19 in California that when it was over and we had lost by 6 points, which was a huge setback. It set the whole legalization movement back 4, 5, 6 years, maybe more, and it emboldened the opposition. But the reason we lost in California, I looked at the exit polls, and it was the senior vote. Nobody in California really bothered talking to seniors. In fact, they weren't talking to much of anybody, because they figured legalization was a natural out there.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't as natural as we thought it was. And that's what inspired me to start the Silver Tour, when I saw that nobody was talking to seniors. And, you know, I knew it wouldn't be that hard to get them out of the closet. But
yeah,
that's my generation.
Well, you've been vindicated on the senior issue as well in the latest federal surveys that show, you know, people over the age of 50 are the fastest growing demographic of cannabis consumers now that we've embarked on some legalization. And, you know, I think you've been vindicated in that if the seniors have access to cannabis and know what it can do for them, they're going to flock to it.
The difference has been amazing since we put on that first Silver Tour show, and then we got on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, and CNN did a special, and then we were on, you know, Jon Stewart's Daily Show. We've had tremendous, great publicity, and it's made seniors comfortable with the subject where they weren't before. And I knew in the beginning that for the most part, it was a matter of getting them out of the closet, because 5 years ago, seniors would not join the discussion. They just, you know, that doesn't interest us. We're not into pot. And in the beginning, I live in a state that's got hundreds and hundreds of over 55 communities, senior communities. And in the beginning, I couldn't book a free Silver Tour show where I was going to give them a free meal, you know, bring a doctor, bring patients, put on a heck of a show in the rec room, and couldn't get in. Now they call me and say, oh, you know, our people would love a Silver Tour show. But it's made a big difference. And, of course, we had the TV show on for a year over about half the country, Should Grandma Smoke Pot? Seniors have an entire... I did a show a week ago Sunday at an over 55 community in Boynton Beach. Nice, big community. This was the men's club. Their monthly breakfast. I had to be there by like 8 o'clock. Anyway, actually, I always start working about 6, 6:15, and by 8, I go out and play tennis. In any case, 250 men showed up. This is a men's club in a nice private development. 250 men show up, and they couldn't wait to whisper in my ear, oh, I got some great smoke. Yeah, never gave it up. Or, hey, you know where I can get some seeds? I want to grow a few more plants. This never happened 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah. Occasionally, someone would come up and give you a little wink, like, yeah, you know, I smoke. But their next-door neighbor wouldn't know. Now, they're smoking with their next-door neighbor.
Yeah.
And you're damn right I'm going to take a lot of credit for that, because nobody else reached out to these people. And it wasn't difficult.
Yeah.
The hardest part was raising a few bucks to get it done. And that's still the hardest part. And it worries me about what's going on with Amendment 2. I wanted to run a really heavy radio campaign for the last 2 months running up to the election. And I couldn't raise anywhere near enough money. It's like hollering down into an empty hole. Nothing comes back, not even an echo.
It's,
you know, when I did the public's protest.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. How'd that go?
Well, it went really well. The disappointing part was I never raised enough money to cover the cost of the signs and the expenses. But we did 5 stores in South Florida, and we had people in Orlando and Tallahassee and Jacksonville, you know, asked me to send them up signs, and they do it on their own. We had people in Georgia, Mississippi, and North Carolina who also picketed in sympathy. And I'm a pragmatist. Anything I've done has had a measurable result. So my goal was to reach the people that actually run Publix. You know, the woman who made the donation, her family founded Publix, but she made it on her own. It wasn't on behalf of Publix. But somebody had to reach up to the people at top Publix and let them know that there are millions of people who get their prescriptions in Publix, and they don't appreciate a negative attitude toward medical marijuana. And I wanted them to put out a statement like Walgreens did. Remember a couple of months ago, Walgreens put out just a nice statement acknowledging that it's a real medicine and that it has a lot of promise. And coming from a company like Walgreens, which has always been a big supporter of Drug Free America Foundation, that was a good thing. I thought it was a major, major good move. And when we got to these public stores, in every case, there were like 6 cop cars there. And the manager was just out, had people out scouting for us. But it wasn't what it looked like. The police did not bother us. If anything, they were a help. They told us, you know, where we could ticket and where we couldn't, and they were very reasonable about it. They pointed out shady spots so we could get out of the Florida sun.
That's nice.
And when the managers came out, you knew immediately that they had all been spoken to by the central office, because they all came out and did the same thing. They were nice. They introduced themselves, and they said, look, don't let your people walk out in that hot sun for too long. You know, get them into the shade. And if you need any, if they need to hydrate, don't hesitate to call me or send them into the store. I was really proud of the way the whole thing came off.
Well, what?
Everybody got along with everybody. We made a point. It was acknowledged by the home office. I'm still waiting to see if they'll do an announcement like Walgreens. But in the meantime, they've made it clear that her policy is not their policy.
Well, that's good news, and it sounds like a successful protest. Robert Platschorn is with the Silver Tour. Check him out at thesilvertour.org and follow him at Bobby Tuna on Twitter. It's all the time we got, Bobby, but I'll call you back again soon, I promise.
I'm here for you anytime, all the time.
All right.
You're my special guy.
Have a great day, my man.
You too, Russ.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
From dabs to chivas, sativas to indicas, we roll out a whole concentrate of fresh new content every week. It's like going from the greenhouse to the dispensary. CannabisRadio.com.
While the feds and state are doing their dance, you still need to transact business and manage your cash. Go professional and let your customers pay with PayQuick. They pay you and they earn rewards points. PayQuick connects to your bank account for free and secures all of your transactions. And with PayQuick, you can pay your producers and processors for free. Plus, it pays to have it because it makes depositing your cash safe and so easy. No cops, no crooks, just compliance and comfort, knowing you have your cannabis business in check with PayQuick. PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
It's time to Hemp Present
with Inadina Stanger.
I say to you with all the fervor of my soul that God intended men to be free. Rebellion against tyranny is a righteous cause. And I believe that with every ounce of my soul, we are fighting a righteous cause because people need nature.
Marijuana! Hemp Present, only on Cannabis Radio. Sweet sativa!
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Adrian, I finished it. Adrian.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it. I didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Today in the rant, we take aim again at the stoners against legalization in California, and more specifically on one particular stoner against legalization known as Dragonfly De La Luz. Now, you may remember that name if you've been following me since the Prop 19 campaign back in 2010, when stoners against legalization first arose, I guess, in our consciousness. And just like in 2010 with the Prop 19, they are recklessly and willfully distorting, obfuscating, twisting, outright lying about how Prop 64 legalization will work in California. But this latest post by Dragonfly Daily News, it sets a new low. Now, yesterday I was talking about how I was wondering where she disappeared to. Didn't seem to hear from her much from 2012, 2014. It seemed to pop up, you know, on my radar at least, when there's marijuana legalization to be voted on. So I got this message forwarded to me by some friends, this post forwarded to me, and more specifically, the scandal involved in this. What's happened is Dragonfly has set up a Blogspot blog, and it hasn't even gotten a domain name for it. It's still on the blogspot.com. I'm not going to give you the link or the web address because I don't want to give her any traffic. But this Blogspot that she's got is called Progressives Against the Prop 64 Adult Use Marijuana Act. Okay, so her aim here, her goal, she's kind of taking this attack that liberals, people that support legalization and reform and justice and racial justice, should be voting against marijuana legalization. And context is important as well, or the messenger is important, I should say, because Dragonfly Daily News is younger. I wouldn't guess her age, but I guess she's younger than I am. And female, obviously, and African-American. So when she's making some of these points about racial justice and how it affects young people, some people may take the messenger and assume that, hey, she's on our side. So I was really offended when I got wind of what she had posted on this Blogspot called Progressives Against the Prop 64 Adult Use Marijuana Act. The post was entitled Why California Progressives Are Voting No on Prop 64, and it opens with a quote. And the quote goes, "I thought for decades that legalization meant that we would all keep doing what we were doing without fear of arrest or prosecution. I failed to grasp that the powers that be would see it as just another angle from which to gain control and hand opportunity to the wealthiest, most ruthless, and most connected," end quote. Signed, Vivian McPeak, Executive Director, Seattle Hempfest. And that's the opening quote. And then the rest of the post, which is miles long, goes on to outline all these reasons why California progressives should vote against Prop 64. The problem here is that Dragonfly took a quote from Vivian McPeak that had nothing to do with Prop 64. These were put together from his Facebook posts in discussions referencing Washington's I-502. And as we've discussed on this show, of the four states that have legalized marijuana, Washington has done the worst job. So Vivian McPeak's quotes about how legalization has affected Washington state are not applicable to what's going on in California. And furthermore, Vivian hasn't established a public position on Prop 64. So she's taking this quote out of context to try to fool people that would look up to someone like Vivian McPeak as a longtime established progressive leader in the cannabis reform movement. And by implication made it seem as if he was saying Prop 64 was a bad idea. Now, when another stoner against legalization named Steve Cubby shared Dragonfly's post out on Facebook, that's when it caught Vivian's attention, and he made it quite clear in a reply that he wasn't too happy about it. This is Vivian's reply on Steve Cubby's Facebook wall that says, quote, "The article is taking select posts that I have made on Facebook that had no reference to ALMA at all and is ascribing my comments out of context to the ALMA proposition. I never gave permission for my words to be used in this fashion, in this piece, or by these authors. I was not referring to ALMA, Prop 64, when made the statements included in this article or whatever it is. Nobody has ever contacted me and asked me what my position or opinions are about Prop 64. I have never publicly stated that I was for or against Prop 64. Now, when I was first alerted to this last night, I surfed over to Dragonfly's blog out there, and the quote of Vivian's was exactly as I gave it to you, right? But since then, she's edited the page so that the quote includes a hyperlink and includes the modifier on the aftermath of Washington's recreational initiative following Vivian's title. So she got called out for taking the guy out of context, for using a quote that implied he was against Prop 64. And her answer to clean it up was not to take the quote off the page, but to keep the quote on the page and then indicate that it refers to Washington. If it refers to Washington, what's the point of keeping the quote on the page? And here's the other weird thing. The hyperlink that she gave on the quote doesn't go to the source of Vivian's quote. You know, like you'd normally do on the internet when you're quoting someone, you hyperlink to where the source was of that quote. No, this hyperlink goes to a Seattle Post-Intelligencer op-ed article that Vivian wrote back in May entitled "Washington, the Worst Legal Cannabis Model, Don't Copy Us." Now, in that piece, Vivian laments Washington State's lack of personal home cannabis growing rights and notes how all the other legal states have the right to home grow cannabis. He observes that Washington makes it a felony for adults to share cannabis and notes how all the other legal states allow adult sharing. He criticizes the Washington legislature for the reductions in patient supply and access that arose from merging the medical and recreational systems. And Vivian goes on to indict Washington's 5 nanogram per same marijuana DUID limit as an unscientific standard that can merit a DUID conviction with, quote, no sign at all of impairment, end quote. So that's within the body of this piece that she's linking to, pointing out 4 things that are wrong with Washington State's legalization that other states shouldn't copy. And at the opening of the piece, Vivian says, quote, I am hoping that none of these states, California was listed, will look to my home state as a model because I think we have done the worst job of the 4 states that have decriminalized cannabis so far, end quote. And in his closing, Vivian advises, quote, if you live in a state that is not legalized, you need to start your own citizens initiative if you can, end quote. So California did and got Prop 64 on the ballot. Under Prop 64, unlike Washington, Californians will be able to grow cannabis plants at home. Under Prop 64, unlike Washington, Californians will be able to share cannabis between adults. Under Prop 64, unlike Washington, California has already established statewide medical marijuana regulations, and Prop 64 in 3 different sections states that the medical marijuana laws are not to be affected by the initiative. And under Prop 64, unlike Washington, Californians will not be subject to an unscientific per se DUID standard. So, in the paragraph that you included out of context from Vivian McPeak, supposedly criticizing Prop 64 when he was criticizing Washington, you link to a piece where he tells California not to follow Washington, and they did not. For you to link to that column in response to getting called out is amusingly ironic. Oh, I'm going to have so much fun with this, people. It's like the Golden Corral buffet of reefer madness, batshit crazy, tinfoil ass hattery bullshit. And we're going to tackle some more of it here coming up in hour 2. Plus, we'll take your calls at 650-LEGAL-MJ. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for sticking around for hour 1. Hour 2 is next. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.